minute one of the Great Escape Minute, the daily podcast where we dig into the Great Escape 1 minute at a time. Hey, I'm Tom.
And I'm Rob.
And we are not joined by anyone this week.
Nope, it's just us. We're just the two of us having a lot of fun this week.
Minute one starts with the logo for the Mirisch Company Presents, and it ends with the credit for Carl Otto Alberti.
Okay, so this is it was actually a lot of fun watching this movie. Just for everyone to know, this is one of my favorite movies, and that's one of the reasons why we chose to do this as the minute by minute. I have seen this movie so many times. We'll at some point get into the real history of where I started seeing it and you know how it became one of my favorite films. But I've never taken the risk of doing what I'm doing now, of watching it 1 minute at a time. And the truth is, it's really amazing seeing things from this perspective because you really get to focus on things and see things that you didn't think about beforehand. And I mean, as Tom already mentioned, this minute just deals with credits. That's all we got. But what I really like about this movie, and it is one of the few movies from that time that actually did this, there's actually something going on during the credits. It gives a lot of contrast, especially when you know what the movie's about and what everything is going to be dealing with. So as Tom mentioned, it starts off with the Mirisch Company. Now, who's the Mirisch Company? It's a big question that I'm sure a lot of you possibly have. The truth is, the Mirisch Company was a pretty big production company around in the 60s. It was started by three brothers. You have Walter Mirisch, Marvin Mirisch, and Harold Mirisch. And they started a production company, and they actually had some great hits in the course of their career together of doing this. Obviously, The Great Escape is among them. In my opinion, it's probably one of their best, if not the best. They also did The Magnificent Seven. They did In the Heat of the Night. They also did West Side Story. So we're talking about a production company that had a lot of success at the time, and this is one of the films that they really were able to give us so much with by producing this movie.
I have to say, before looking into this, I had never heard of these guys before, and part of that is I very rarely pay that much attention to production companies, and you were listing some of their big ones, and yeah, they've done three with Steve McQueen, this Great Escape, Magnificent Seven, and they also did the original Thomas Crown Affair, and Magnificent Seven's going to come up pretty regularly in this show, I feel like, just given the overlap, but yeah, it was amazing to me that this company I've never heard of has done so many major blockbusters and cultural icons. You know, they did, like Rob said, West Side Story. They also did Fiddler on the Roof, two of what a lot of people consider the best musicals put to film. And so, yeah, I was really impressed by their resume. Other thing, you know, Rob mentioned we get this caravan driving through the German countryside that, you know, once you know what it is, it adds a different level of meaning. But just watching, you know, this military convoy going through, and it actually is the German countryside because they shot this at Bavaria Film Studios. Just seeing those shots, it's just a beautifully done scene.
Yeah, I mean, especially the way that they start with showing things from a distance, and then they get a little closer. You see all the trucks and the motorcycles going along the way, and you know you can try and count how many trucks are moving along through these credits. I actually counted 10 trucks, which is quite interesting because if you have 250 prisoners, which is what they said they had in the camp. So they crammed in 25 prisoners into each of these trucks. It's pretty ironic, though, because the trucks that they use in this movie are obviously not the original make of the trucks that possibly took these men to the camp at the time, because these trucks actually were only made in 1950. It's a Mercedes-Benz L3500. I'm not a car person. I just did a little bit of research. So I couldn't tell you the difference between most Mercedes-Benz cars or anything. But in this case, I find it to be pretty funny the way that trucks obviously look and feel the part. But I think there's a lot to do with the way that they did the production here.
And I have to hope, at least, if Mercedes made these trucks, they're a little more comfortable than the back of what the American military uses for troop transport, 7 tons. Because, you can't get much more.
You're talking about now?
Yeah. I mean, just from watching the intro, they seem to roll better on the road than what the American military uses now. But, yeah. Do you have anything on, some of the history of the film for this episode, Rob?
Well, when we get to tomorrow's episode, we'll talk a little bit more about the background of the story and the screenplay once we deal with those credits. But what I actually wanted to discuss here is the way that we both mentioned the fact that the countryside looks so beautiful, and we're dealing here with a war film that, on the one hand, the heroes are all prisoners, and they're theoretically the bad guys from the German perspective, because these are the prisoners. But when you see them going through the countryside, it's beautiful countryside that they're going through. And in another few minutes, in a few days from now, we'll be talking about it. They'll actually get to the camp, and you can see then the difference between how the camp looks and how everything in around the camp looks. So the countryside is just done. They filmed it really well. There are a lot of stories some of them are Holocaust stories, and some of them are just stories from people who experienced in World War II. How life was somewhat going on normal for people living in the Third Reich at the time. Not the ones who were obviously out on the battlefields, but the ones who were home. Even the ones who were living in towns not far from concentration camps or whatever. You had the way that everything looked by them, and then a few miles away or whatever it is, you have atrocities that are happening. So I think that this is one of the things they're trying to show here, especially given the fact that I'm sure we'll discuss this in later episodes, that a lot of the cast and crew members, fought in these areas or were prisoners of war themselves during that time. So to try and show the contrast here, the way that the landscapes all look around, on their journey to the camp and in the camp, in order to contrast that with what's going on in the camp itself. I found to be quite interesting.
Absolutely. And, I just wanted to at least throw a few snapshot facts about the film out here in the first episode. Like I said, it was filmed in Bavaria, which the actual camp was in what is now Poland, but, it's still out there in the German area. It actually had an original budget of $3.8 million. Ended up bringing in $11.7 million. So,
and that's money from 1963. If you want to translate that to what money is today, this is definitely a blockbuster, and it's completely, we're talking about millions upon millions of dollars.
Right. Also, it did get a few nominations for some awards. So at the Golden Globes, it was nominated for Best Motion Picture. At the Oscars, it was nominated for Best Editing. And at the Moscow International Film Festival, which I didn't realize was a thing, Steve McQueen won the Best Actor Award. And in terms of where it is ranked now, on the IMDb top-rated films list, it is sitting at number 141 as of today. So I thought that, that was pretty cool as well.
Right. I mean, I actually was very happy about the fact that it was nominated for Best Picture at the Golden Globes. I mean, it lost The Cardinal. I've seen that movie also. I've actually seen all 8 of the movies that were nominated that year for it, and I still believe that The Great Escape is the best, but, I don't get the vote. So... Oh, I didn't get the vote back then. In addition, I think it's also nice to mention that this was actually noted as one of the top 10 films on the National Board of Review, which also says something about what people thought of the movie at the time. You know, National Board of Review sometimes has popular films on there also, not just, you know, movies that are deemed as Oscar type movies. So the fact that they're able to, that this film made the top 10 list, I think is quite noteworthy.
Did you have anything else we wanted to talk about here, Rob?
Yeah, I found it interesting the way that they broke up the cast list on this. In this minute, they actually list all of the cast members. Surprisingly, it fits exactly into this minute. And you basically have at the beginning, you know, the three top stars. You have Steve McQueen, James Garner, and Richard Attenborough, and they all appear before the title of the, you know, they're above the title. And then after that, you have nine co-stars. And then you have another 15 actors who are credited as with. And each one, the font gets a little smaller, obviously. I guess it all has to do with how much each is getting paid and what their part is in this particular movie. So I found that to be very interesting, the way that they did it. Obviously, movies back in the early days of film, you know, the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, up until the 80s or so, most films had all of their credits at the beginning of the movie. You know, what we all see today, which I'm sure a lot of people listening to this are aware of, you know, that the way movies used to be made when dealing with the credits and the way they're done today are very different. Today you have all the credits at the end, and a lot more credits are shown today than they were back then. You know, there they just gave you the top credits, basically. So I just found it very interesting the way that they split up the actors in this list. I mean, I think it doesn't make sense for us to go into right now each of these actors. I think it's better to talk about them once we actually meet them later on as the film progresses. And another great thing about this minute is the music. You know, there's no dialogue here whatsoever. There's just, you see the convoy traveling through the Bavarian countryside, but the music, which we'll talk about tomorrow because that's when we'll get to that credit. But the music has become so iconic, and it's just, it to me, it's such a great opening of a movie that you can just have an entire minute where you just are watching a convoy driving through the countryside, and then after that you have music, soothing, fun music to take you through that journey. That's all I got for this minute. You got anything else?
No, I just want to echo that music is fantastic because, yeah, like you said, there's very few movies that could do this kind of cold open and hold your attention the way this does. And I feel like that music is very much a part of that. But like you said, we'll get into him tomorrow and talk a little more about the music. So with that, we hope you guys join us again tomorrow. If you guys want to check us out on the assorted interwebs, our email address is thegreatminute@gmail.com. Our website is thegreatescapeminute.com. You can follow us on Twitter @thegreatescapemxm. And we have a Facebook group. It's called The Cooler. You can search for that. And if you have the opportunity, please subscribe to the podcast and give us a rating on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Tally-ho.